Good afternoon. Welcome to the Hen and Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, 12 to 1:30. And we have your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more. It's Kentucky Derby Day, but has the Run for the Roses turned into the Run for the Bitcoin? Well, we'll be checking that out in just a moment. And there's more. Oh, Goldman Sachs. Oh, well, there's a VP. Goldman Sachs goes all in Bitcoin rallies. The firm announces it will trade Bitcoin. Oh, there's that new guy that had to the trading desk and his assistant. Oh, well. Goldman Sachs goes all in and Bitcoin rallies. The firm announces it will trade Bitcoin futures, and that was a major lift on the cryptocurrency market this week. Hashtag CryptoDab, a.k.a. CFTC, Commodities Futures Trading Chairman, Giancarlo opines on the nature of Bitcoin, but another SEC commissioner suggests that Ethereum may be an illegal security, although that has not stopped the rally in Ethereum, but did put a pause to it. And is Coinbase poised to become the Google of blockchain, or the godfather of blockchain, if you will? Well, we have a panel here to help us with that. And coming up in the second half of the show, returning guests we're very excited about. We were actually Zoom chatting with him, so he got a chance to meet some of the new panelists here in the studio that he hasn't met from his previous time on the show. Well, let's get them on right now, too. Well, of course, that is Sabine Priestley, science fiction, fantasy, romance novelist, engineer, much, much more, and good to have her in the studio this week. Hi, Sabine.
Hi, Henry. Thanks. Good to be back.
Yeah, and on the same mic with her is... That would be the financial woman, the blockchain CPA, Kara Haas, is with us. Hi, Kara. Good to have you back again.
Hi, Henry. Good to be here.
That's two in a row. It's okay to turn that a little bit more towards the center of the two of you there. And someone who knows his way around a mic. Oh, not him. He's not the financial woman. But he is.
So you say that only proves that I'm insane. You made me right. I made you crazy. But it just made me a lunatic you're looking for.
Well, the self-selected theme music of Augie. Hi, Augie.
Hey, I'm a crazy man, but I tell you, those big investors are the only ones that's going to go to Goldman. They're going to the gold, and the gold bug isn't here to talk about that.
I know. Just when you thought he might really want to be in studio today,
right.
All his predictions coming true, although I did speak to him before the show. We'll get into the market in a little bit, but he did give me where he sees the next resistance in Bitcoin pricing, so people can be alert to that. I want to remind
you... what he's really doing, though, don't you? He's burying all his gold. He's not actually doing that.
Burying.
Burying.
Oh, I thought you were going to use burying all his gold.
Did he tell you where? Did he say where he's doing that?
We're going to go follow the shovel trail.
Oh, just the shine in the horizon from all the reflection of all that gold will deliver us right to him. Well, I want to remind you that you can follow the show on Facebook, Twitter. You get the podcast. Just Google Henry Rain Show, and you'll find lots of podcast sites, probably the one of your choice, hopefully. And our largest archive is on Podomatic.com. I want to remind you there's a community Facebook page. That's the Minnesota Bitcoin Crypto Club Facebook page, as well as the show page and all the individual pages that we usually link up to, the Sabine Priestley page and the Kara Haas page and the Augie page and the Goldbug and the Singing Cryptos page, all those pages. And then we have, of course, the active community of meetups that are in the area. And I believe the next one coming up will be the Blockchain Business and Development Meetup at Connect Bradenton. That's going to be on Wednesday afternoon at 5:30 p.m. And that will feature healthcare and blockchain. And Anthony Bigondo from Professional Credentialing Exchange will be there. And he's partnering with Hashed Health out in Nashville. And we'll tell you more about that in the times to come. And, well, there's so much to get to before we speak to our guest, Terry Brock, at 12:45. And we have, well, as I said, it's Kentucky Derby Day. Well, not quite. About 6:30 today, that'll happen. The Kentucky Derby seems like a timeless horse racing tradition. But this weekend at Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky, many others will be watching and betting on races from casinos and racetracks around the country. And this year, the race will be wagered on with cryptocurrencies. According to U.S. Racing, the use of Bitcoin and other currencies is increasing among bettors of horse racing. Right now, while punters, and maybe someone can help me out what punter means in this context, of horse racing are limited to a handful of private international gaming companies. I'm guessing that means some kind of big-time bettor. Anybody have an idea on that, punter? I guess nobody's in the big-time betting.
No idea.
Oh, Cara's already on her Googling it for us or whatever search engine of choice she's on.
I know what horse I want.
Well, we'll get to that in a second.
I would say it's the whales, the people who really love it.
Okay. So whales being a term you're pulling from the crypto space into the horse racing space.
Why not?
So it's not whales racing horses.
Now. No, it's whales who have big money. That's a...
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, there's gaming companies now that are accepting cryptocurrency from crypto wallets. Can use Bitcoin Cash, Litecoin, among others, to make a bet on the Kentucky Derby, said Tim Maxwell, U.S. Racing's operations director, in a statement. Though not among the currencies that can be used to bet on horse races this weekend, another cryptocurrency called Ether is hoping to join in the fun. A startup called ETH Horse has developed a game that works similar to horse racing, but instead of betting Ether on real horses, you bet on other cryptocurrencies. So I have a couple questions for the panel about this, but anybody have a particular thought on this? You had a horse.
Well, yeah, besides the fact that ETH Horse is hard to say, I really should thought that one out. But Mendelssohn, that's the one.
Mendelssohn is the horse you're after?
Yeah, well, that one, but if I'm going to go long, Justify, Magnum Moon, or Audible.
Say Justified, I heard somebody say the other day. Yeah. This guy said I've won all but two races in my life, which is like 20 times.
Seriously?
Uh-huh.
Okay,
well, there's a story, I didn't put it in this because we got so much. This is a sort of a record rundown today with all of Carr's stuff and Terry Brock's stuff. That, but someone who, I think it was Bloomberg, I was reading the article, has made $1 billion on betting on horse racing. He's somewhere in Southeast Asia, and his biggest bet is they have some, it's not a trifecta, but it's like a trifecta, where you have to pick the top three horses, not in any particular order, from three races, all in one bet. So nine horses.
Oh, that's a better bet. That's a good bet.
Oh, yeah, anybody could get that.
No, I would do that.
But so any thoughts on you before I...
No, I haven't followed the race enough, and I just happened to be in a place where this guy was at the bank, and he was...
Well, that shouldn't stop you have from having an opinion about crypto and...
Well, the crypto thing is interesting, but it's all about Goldman, because Goldman is dictating that one currency, if there's going to be one, is going to be Bitcoin. And they're going to, and because of limited quantities, it has legitimacy. So you're going to tie it to the blockchain. They're going to tie it to regulation. They're going to tie that. And
well, we're going to come up on that on the next story here.
Is wild card
on the rundown here. But I do want to say that with betting with Bitcoin, it seems like that's a way around the taxes You're doing it evidently on some international betting site.
Yeah, that's true.
And we always say about how you can track Bitcoin, but if the people that are in business using it aren't conducive to enabling the governments to track it.
That's interesting.
Well, it's called pass-through for your lawyer, right? I mean, you know, when the lawyer says, what happens, Tony? You say you pass your money.
That's not quite like...
I'm still going to move to Malta.
Oh, Malta? That's where the Sunnis have put more mosques than God. That's ISIS. That's ISIS all over the place.
Have put more mosques than what?
It's a facetious, contradictory statement, of course.
Okay.
It's that they're putting mosques everywhere in the world, and they're putting them up in droves, literally. 200 in Kosovo, in Indonesia, they're going up, and they're all with an imam picked by Saudi Arabia, a Wahhabist imam.
All right, we're taking this down a whole another level here. All right, let's go to a break, and we'll come back where Augie wanted to take us with the Goldman Sachs
there
story.
If you're a business owner, you need to start listening right now to find out how a few feet of empty floor space can turn into a steady stream of both money and new faces into your business. Hosting a Bitfederal Bitcoin ATM gives you a leg up on your competition by giving your location a destination-oriented visitor that will come back time and time again. Frequent Bitcoin ATM customers become frequent shoppers in your storefront. To find out more, just call 877-855-BYTE, B-Y-T-E, or 877-855-2983, and you'll be talking to the same local business experts you've heard on the Henry Raines Show. Or just go to BYTEfederal.com and fill out the simple form to begin hosting a Bitcoin ATM in your business. Don't wait. Start earning new revenue and seeing new customers right away. Call 877-855-BYTE, B-Y-T-E. That's 877-855-2983, or go to BYTEfederal.com.
There's a new way to experience wellness. Hi, I'm Laura Alcover, owner and operator of Alcover Massage. We're the first business in Bradenton's Village of the Arts to accept cryptocurrency. Whether you use Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, or Litecoin, you can now pay for quality massage therapy using cryptocurrency at Alcover Massage. So if you seek medical massage or a relaxing session with light pressure, your session will be conducted by a talented therapist. You'll be glad you booked with us. Check out and like our Facebook page where you can book online in seconds. And remember to tell your friends. Give us a call, 941-592-3187. That's 941-592-3187. Alcover Massage, quality massage therapy in your neighborhood. MA number 50525, MM number 34081.
Well, if I edit a 15-second liner, I'm going to use it more than one time. You know that. That was the Goldman Sachs executives jumping in the deep end of the pool with their launching of a cryptocurrency trading desk, and starting with futures. Goldman Sachs, perhaps the most storied name in finance, is bucking the risk and moving ahead with plans to set up what appears to be the first Bitcoin trading operation at a Wall Street bank. While Goldman will not initially be buying and selling Bitcoins, TMT Bank is going in that direction if it can get regulatory approval and figure out how to deal with the additional risks associated with the virtual currency. Rana Yared, one of the Goldman executives overseeing the creation of the operation, said the bank was clear-eyed about what it's getting itself into, although not so clear in their pronouncements over the past year of whether they were going to be getting in or not getting in, but I think all along we've seen the handwriting on the wall. Ms. Yared said, I would not describe myself as a true believer who wakes up thinking Bitcoin will take over the world. Well, of course, Goldman wakes up thinking Goldman Sachs is taking over the world. That's obvious. That's part of the job description. For almost every person involved, there has been a personal skepticism brought to the table. Of course, Bitcoin was created in 2009, who talked about by the I guess, pseudonym Satoshi Nakamoto, we don't know for sure one way or the other, talked about replacing Wall Street banks, not giving them a new revenue line, but that's not the way they see it. A growing number of hedge funds and other larger investors around the world have expressed interest in virtual currencies. Tech companies like Square have begun offering Bitcoin services to their customers. And commodity exchanges in Chicago, CBOE, CME, are allowing customers to trade Bitcoin futures contracts. Started back in December. But till now, regulated financial institutions have steered clear of Bitcoin, with some going so far as to shut down the accounts of customers who traded Bitcoin. Jamie Dimon, the chief executive of J.P. Morgan Chase, and, of course, we all remember him from...
We're going to answer questions about Bitcoin because I really don't care.
So if you didn't get that the first time.
But this is the last time I'm ever going to answer questions about Bitcoin because I really don't care.
Jamie, I don't think that's the last time you're ever going to answer it. And we're going to remind you that here probably pretty frequently, too. It's another 15-second liner I don't never get tired of. Anyway, a number of clients want to hold the commodity, similar to gold, given the limited quantity of Bitcoin. And so custodial issues are something that has to be dealt with there. Ms. Sherrod said the banks have received inquiries from hedge funds and foundations both. And this is quite a long article from the New York Times that I'm just excerpting. Bank's first digital asset trader, Justin Smith, joined Goldman 2 weeks ago. So, but no, they haven't been planning this for very long. Anyway, he's to handle the day-to-day operations, first reported. Mr. Schmidt, 38, was an electronic trader at hedge fund, 7-8 Capital. He left that job to trade virtual currencies last year, and so that makes him an leaving in 2017 makes him an expert in 2018, much like us on the radio here. And let's just cut this a little bit short. We're going to go to Blockchain Capital's Spencer Bogart that is going to put this in perspective, and then we'll get the panel's take on it all.
For more on what this means for the crypto universe, we've got Blockchain Capital partner Spencer Bogart, who joins us today from San Francisco. Hi, Spencer.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Had the barrier for institutional investment in Bitcoin or Bitcoin futures, I guess, in this example, been the lack of a trading desk at the big banks? It seems that there are other issues wrapped in, and I asked you this because this is being touted as a big step. Is it really?
Absolutely. It's definitely a big step. I mean, I don't think it's a perfect solution that all of a sudden now just opens the floodgates to the institutionalization of Bitcoin. But I think, as Bob pointed out in the segment, I mean, listen, first we had the futures contracts roll out, so some robust derivative products. Now we're seeing large banks roll out trading desks. I mean, particularly when it's Goldman Sachs, I'm going to expect other banks will follow as well. And they're going to follow not just because it's Goldman Sachs, and that's what a lot of banks do, is follow what Goldman does, but because this market is so large that you can't ignore it anymore. I mean, I'm sure that most of these banks have heard about the numbers or have seen the numbers that companies like Coinbase and Binance are putting up, and there's a real risk that some of those companies could overtake some of Wall Street's biggest banks if they don't get in the market.
But in terms of institutional investment, I mean, okay, let's say this is a good first step. What's the next big problem that needs to be solved?
Sure. So, I mean, I think that Bob hinted at it in the segment, which is custody, right? So, I mean, right now we have Goldman rolling out a trading desk that will only be touching derivative products. But longer term, I can imagine that they're going to be embracing trading of the underlying product, right, the physical Bitcoin. And so, you know, I think a big piece of solving that puzzle is going to be custody.
And who's working on that problem right now?
There's so many companies in the space. Like, really, I think that this became a very well-known problem over the course of 2017, and now there's probably... Yeah.
And he's going to go into many things you probably already heard on this show in the previous weeks as we've covered some of these issues. One interesting thing about the Goldman Sachs futures is they're not going to be just... They will clear for their clients the CBOE, Chicago Board of Options Exchange, and Chicago Mercantile Exchange futures, but they are actually creating their own product. Shades of the mortgage crisis when they were creating their own products, but they are creating their own futures products for them to sell directly to the customers. And, you know, we talk about the Kentucky Derby in the previous segment. You know, you could talk about Las Vegas. You could talk about betting against the house. And if they're the ones creating the products for sale, I'm sure there's a little bit of an edge in the transaction. Your thoughts.
Define custody first real quick. What's he talking about?
Well, of course, the... If I were to hand you a Bitcoin, I really couldn't hand you a Bitcoin. That would just be...
Well, some, actually you can
I would
now,
be up to something else probably
later.
If I was telling you I was going to hand you a Bitcoin. But it's out there in the virtual world, but we track it through the addresses that we have
so
for it.
They're tracking private keys.
And you unlock that private address with your private key. And so a better, perhaps, way to think about this is an anecdote. I know of a financial analyst, early adopter, as in a year and a half, 2 years ago, into Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, had his addresses, had $10 million of value in Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. What do you do with this address? And if you haven't seen one of these addresses, I don't, what is it, 64 digits long, something like that, more than 32 at least. And it has numbers and letters and capital, lowercase, uppercase, and almost impossible to remember, and you wouldn't want to try and remember and rely on that to get your $10 million.
That's the way to hold your address.
So he had these written down in a safe deposit box in New York City, and he went to check on his addresses to make sure that if he could access his $10 million, you know, it's just like,
what you do.
Like Uncle Scrooge diving in the money bin. You know, you like to swim in all that money. Yeah. And they bring him the safe deposit box, and he opens it, and it's empty. And, of course, after they called the paramedics and the cardiac event was over, they realized they had misfiled the safe deposit box, and they found his safe deposit box, and all was well with the world then. But people with safe deposit box think their valuables are in safe custody, so you need something much stronger.
Yeah, okay, so it is the custody of the private keys. You know, just from a 30,000-foot level, anybody that says the institutionalization of Bitcoin leaves a really bad taste in my mouth.
Well, it's the true believers, it does. For some of us, we're like,
okay,
you know, well. Oh, like.
You like the validation that you get with this, right? I mean,
what are you validating?
Well, Goldman Sachs getting in the game is going. You know,
it's institutionalizing it, but what are you validating without that?
All the digital stuff that makes you nuts.
It's a trustless environment, and I think too some of it goes back to what Coinbase does. They don't actually hold. If I go on and buy a Bitcoin right now, and I store it in their wallet, I don't believe that they actually allocate a Bitcoin to me. They have their pool. And if I want to pull it out, then I have the right to it.
Mm-hmm. Not worried about hacking.
No, because they are required by their insurance with Lloyd's of London to keep a certain percentage, it's either 80 or 90% or maybe even a little more, in cold storage.
They're insured.
And any free cash is kept in segregated at FDIC insured accounts.
What was the name of that company that does all that?
The insurance?
No, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lloyd's of London.
And that's not institutional.
Well, that wasn't what the question you asked.
Well, it's kind of related because it's not.
Well, I was letting the ladies finish their point and not trying to direct them somewhere else. As someone is. If you want to know what, when Sabine hears institutionalized investing or entrance into the marketplace, and she has that bad feeling, I get this feeling.
Oh, you're playing the piano now. Wow.
We're in the money.
We're in the money.
Well, I think they're defending it very well, but I just, the argument about it, what's institutionalized and what isn't. Lloyd's of London insures weather plans, too, so, gosh.
Well, one thing that I find curious about it is, isn't Goldman the firm that lost the most execs recently to the crypto space? And
they lost the most what?
Like executives.
Oh.
There's been.
But they've been hiring as fast as they're losing.
But most of them have
placing
exited
dominoes,
to the crypto space. And I'm finding more and more how incestuous this is.
There you go.
And it will be interesting to see how much of this possibly was planned.
They're going to try to lock it down, just like gold. It's going to be the comparative. This is a political, economic move. And
but you can't lock this down.
Well, so you
that's
say.
The beauty of it.
So you say.
You try, lockdown probably isn't the operative phrase, control the market.
It's same
centralized.
Difference.
When you're talking about locking things down and you're talking about safe deposit box and cold storage, you're talking about locking it down. When you're talking about controlling the wealth and who gets to trade it, that's controlling the marketplace.
Okay. All right. I'll stipulate to that.
Good. You've been here a year and a half. No, we're coming up on our one-year anniversary of talking about this.
I'm not going to exchange pieces of cake.
We have multi-years of radio anniversaries, but this is our cryptocurrency anniversary this month.
Yeah,
happy anniversary.
Oh. Yeah.
You guys make such a cute couple.
There you go. I only like the frosting.
I'll take the cake.
You take the cake.
pardon me while I interrupt the glibness. Well, we've got something to talk about with Coinbase coming up here, too. But as we wrap up the Goldman story here, let me take a quick look at the prices, because regardless of what you think of whether it's a good thing or a bad thing for the institutionalization, it's been a great thing for the marketplace, because earlier today, Bitcoin went back above right around the 9,950 mark. Waiting anxiously for it to pass 10,000 again. Ethereum has been rallying. It got as high as, I think, 830 earlier today. Litecoin also rallying, touched a little over 180. Trading just below it right now. It's had one of the better runs this week. But all these things have benefited from this, and it's very reminiscent of last November when the futures market, the CBOE and the CME, announced they were going to start selling futures and transacting futures. And that was when we saw the run-up right before Thanksgiving. Bitcoin was right around $6,000, which is a familiar number for people that have been following it the last month and a half. When it ran high, I think about 8,000 or 9,000, right about this level, and then Thanksgiving came and everybody's uncle came home and tried to show how smart he was by buying Bitcoin, and all of the family got signed up on Coinbase, and then December came around and Christmas came around, and all the family members who thought Uncle Joe was nuts jumped on it, and they shot it up to 20,000 in December, and then it crashed, and they all hated Uncle Joe after that. And he's been waiting for this moment to be validated.
That's a movie. Thanksgiving and Uncle Joe.
And we're accepting Bitcoin to fund it, or the cryptocurrency that is liquid enough that we can make Augie's dream come true.
Well, I think this is called a lockout. It's going to be lockout, not lockdown. Lockout of anything but Bitcoin. That's where things are moving.
Why do you say that? Why would that be a point?
This is a move. Diamond is behind this, you know. I mean, what did Diamond do earlier?
Why would they not want to control Ethereum, too? Why would Ethereum cease to be a market when
they're going
the platform?
They're going to move to some kind of way of saying this is a legitimate coin, this isn't. That's what they're doing.
All right.
I still don't see that executed.
All right.
Well, when people say we can trust this, but we can't trust that, this really isn't gold. Gold is gold.
But the people that are in the market now are the people that know that they get it. They get what Ethereum is. They get what Bitcoin is.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to control that. Are you going to control maybe the masses?
They're going to try to be the.
But then if you're going back to the whole accredited investor thing, anyways, then
that's where it's going.
Well,
why don't we go to Commodities Futures and Trading Commission Chairman Giancarlo, hashtag CryptoDad. He was on CNBC Monday. They were asking him the nature of Bitcoin, asking some of the weighty questions that Augie constantly asks us. And they asked him, is Bitcoin a cryptocurrency? Is it a commodity? Is it a security? And, of course, his answer was, yeah.
It's all of that.
So here's
what exactly is Bitcoin? For more on that, let's bring in CFTC Chairman Chris Giancarlo. He joins us from the Milken Conference in Los Angeles. Chris, welcome to the show. And we just want to start off with the million-dollar question, because I think that there is a real debate, even amongst Bitcoin enthusiasts. What is Bitcoin? Is it digital gold? Is it a currency? Is it a security? Could it be all of the above? What do you think?
Well, it's a great debate, Melissa. And a lot of people are looking at it from so many different angles, and we at the CFTC.
You know, whenever, but this, you've interviewed people forever, and I'm sure you all have had your interviews. I know you, where you talk to people all the time for your novels and stuff. And whenever somebody says to you, well, that's a great question. you know that what it really means is you've just asked me the most obvious question in the world, and I am totally prepared for it.
And I'm going to compliment the hell out of you.
All right. Sorry.
Did I digress?
See, I've been looking at it for a number of years now. You know, the statutes under which we operate were written, in our case, in 1935, and with the SEC in 1933 and 34. And it's often hard to look at those statutes and find out where something as new and innovative as Bitcoin and many of the other cryptocurrencies, where do they fall into a regulatory regime that was written decades ago. So in the case of the CFTC, we see elements of commodities in it that are subject to our regulation, but depending on which regulatory regime you're looking at, it has different aspects of all of that. In our case, though, we have seen the licensing and the operation of Bitcoin futures contracts, which are cash-settled contracts on Bitcoin operated by our two large exchanges, the CME, Chicago Mercantile Exchange, and the
So right there he's pointing out, okay, what's on the exchanges that we regulate. So Bitcoin, we're definitely going to get our piece of the regulation here. It can be a commodity. We view it as a commodity. We're going to regulate it as a commodity. But I'm sure there's other regulators that are saying, well, but it's a cryptocurrency. We got to regulate it. And then you have the SEC that actually has said, well, they haven't officially said, but influential people on the commission and the chairman have said, well, maybe not Bitcoin is in the security. But then we had people for about a day, we had a crash, mini crash in Ethereum, a mini correction in Ethereum, I should say, when the Wall Street Journal, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, published an article saying that some commissioner on the SEC, not the chairman, said, well, I think Ethereum was an illegal securities sale, which we don't really have time to digress into the nature of Ethereum.
That's what's going to happen more.
Well,
okay, but
we could tell you why that isn't the case for Ethereum in a second, and other commissioners have since come forward, both retired and otherwise, saying, well, that was probably a little bit of an overstatement there. Ethereum has rebounded. It's on the track to make not all-time highs, but a new high.
The problem is that they're trying to take a digital asset that has never existed before and regulate it with pre-existing regulations. That doesn't work. It doesn't fit. They're going to have to...
Everything old is new again. And when you have tulips, you...
That's what you're hoping.
Oh, no. Tulips. I was promised tulips were out of the studio before I came here. There will be no tulips.
Well, that's not tulips. It's the bulbs.
Hi. So, I know Sabine, and I know Kara is familiar with, because she reads so many of these white papers, what is a security and the Howey test and that established test of what a security is not. Maybe you can help us out right now. What is the Howey test, if you can summarize it quickly?
The primary thing with the Howey test is if it's issued by someone or an organization and it's issued to people in exchange for fiat, for money, with the expectation of profit and the reliance on the issuer to make that profit, so or some controlling party. So in the case of just Bitcoin versus Ethereum, Bitcoin is not issued. You cannot come for it, Augie. You just can't. You can't control it.
But it has a limited number.
And it does have a limited number based on the algorithm.
We're tight on time. Let's go to Ethereum, because that was the one that was in the news this week.
And Ethereum, his biggest, Vitalik Buterin's biggest issue probably was doing an ICO. And even though it's mineable, and even though it has grown to equate in our minds with Bitcoin, he actually issued shares. He did fundraising. And so I think it does make it
questionable,
eligible.
Well, there you go. Eligible or questionable.
You picked a different word than I did.
Yeah, a little bit different. Slightly
eligible
different.
To
be questioned.
To fail Howie.
Okay. So what I would suggest here is, when it came out, the value was insignificant per ether. and it was used as the gas to do transactions for smart contracts. So someone could argue that it wasn't marketed as a security, as something that you invest in at the time. And if you look at the, how long it took to go up in value, that it was sold as a means to create smart contracts and to operate smart contracts on, which, and at least going by the, how you described it, sounds to me like it's something different than a security. Is my opinion eligible?
Your opinion is very eligible. It definitely is, and I think it goes back to whatever that one SEC commissioner who said that ICOs and tokens in particular built on the Ethereum network have the opportunity to change their form over time.
So let me take us into the next story here, because this one, I think, in my of all the some of these ICOs are definitely scam securities, but of the established mainstream cryptocurrencies, I think this is an interesting class action suit that has been brought, and that is the one against Ripple. An investor who claims they lost money buying and selling cryptocurrency XRP has filed a class action lawsuit against distributed ledger startup Ripple, alleging the company violated state and federal security laws. Ryan Coffey, represented by San Diego attorney James Taylor Copeland, filed the suit in San Francisco County Superior Court. That's also interesting because so many of the cryptocurrency companies are based in San Francisco, so I'm sure they have their attention, is seeking damages on behalf of all investors who purchased Ripple tokens. So, you want to join the class action? I think I got about $100 coming to me. And naming Ripple XRP to the company's registered and licensed MSB and CEO Brad Garlinghouse and 10 unnamed party. CEO Garlinghouse probably thankful he made so many appearances on CNBC and became the face of all this. Ripple Labs and Garlinghouse have come under increased scrutiny in recent weeks over the degree of association. Well, I can't go into this with the amount of time that we have as far as the article, but one of the interesting things about this is XRP, what we call Ripple, is put out there as the currency, but then the company is a private company. They control still 80% of the unreleased Ripple, which is a billion. There must be a billion Ripple, something like that is the number. We can find that out for you if anybody's really curious, but it's approximately that. And so it had a huge run. Lots of people got 400% or more, 1,000%. At one time, Garlinghouse was estimated to be the richest man in the world for about a week and a half or so when Ripple peaked. But they have, as a private company, they are creating all these blockchain technology applications for these major banks around the world, but they don't use their own currency. So people that might have come in thinking, oh, look at all they're doing with these big banks, and they're going to make use of this currency that they've created, I think that adds to the suspicion of whether this was a security that was illegally marketed. Anybody?
Well, that sounds very illegal. The whole thing sounds like a scam, and that is the sort of thing that's going to affect or infect the whole thing, the whole matter.
Precedent-setting.
It is.
It's going to be a precedent-setting case.
And the word infect is the point.
Well, and one of the interesting things about Ripple, I definitely agree that I think it's very misleading, but they're a closed system. They're not even open source. I mean, this is the breeding ground for Jamie Dimon and Bank of America.
You do a beautiful job of explaining these things, but if you have to run around and explain each of the various coins in that way, then trust goes down the toilet.
All right. Well, we will leave it in the toilet for this half of the show. And we'll be coming back with someone who is great at explaining, and that's going to be Terry Brock, terrybrock.com. He is the host of a Bitcoin.com TV show and much, much more that we're going to find out about that. And something I asked him to talk about for Sabine is probably most apt. All of us could benefit from it, but Sabine is making content, royalties, and profits from the blockchain, all that and more coming up in the next half of the Henry Raines Show.